This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
They didn't send many folks down there. Does it matter? Cam Ward was here. They took him out to dinner.
Where'd they go?
Maybe took him to Slimans, got him a corned beef.
Oh, well, that'd be worth it.
Yeah.
That would make me want to sign.
I would think so.
I would. I'd go there.
Wouldn't that be the way to go?
I've always been perplexed by corned beef sandwiches, too. They always put so much on there. If you go to a good place, you know what I'm saying?
What do you mean so much?
They put so, like, it's bigger than...
I need rye bread, I need Swiss cheese, I need corned beef and a little mustard.
Yeah,
that's,
but sometimes
all I need.
It's bigger than your mouth. That's the problem.
Well, it's tough.
It's very difficult for me to do it.
Mary Kay Cabot covers the Browns for the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Mary Kay, do you like corned beef sandwiches?
That's where we'll start.
I love corned beef sandwiches, yes.
So do I. Andy, you do too?
Oh, I love them. There's a great place in Rocky River, too. Right off
now,
the freeway.
Now, riddle me this one. We were talking about this earlier, Mary Kay. I think everybody's assuming now that Cam Ward is a Tennessee Titan. If they're just kind of, you know, making it look that way for sure, and they don't think he's that much better than Shedeur Sanders, and the Browns do, if you're the Browns, would you call them and say, what would it take?
Well, you know, it's funny that you should say that. I was just sitting here, I'm writing about that right now. I just wasn't able to get the story up before this interview, so we could have kicked it around a little bit more even, but 100% I would be doing that. You just have to decide if that's how you feel about Cam Ward. If you think he's head and shoulders above Shedeur Sanders, then absolutely you have to pick up the phone and make that phone call and see what they would be willing to do. I would do that in a heartbeat if that's how you feel. We don't know if that's how they feel, and we're not going to know that until they tell us on draft day, potentially, oh, we've had our eye on Shedeur since November, and we always knew he was our man. So I don't know if they would be interested in doing something like that. But in the event that you have come to the conclusion that he is the number one quarterback in this draft and you are that close, it's that attainable for you, then you at least have to give it a shot.
And you can throw
that antiquated trade draft chart right out the window, because that is not going to apply here. And the value that you could have given up maybe 5 years ago for something like this, that's not going to work here.
What would it take, you think, Mary Kay?
I don't know. I think I'll probably have a better idea when I go to the owners' meetings and start asking around about that a little bit. We're going to have an opportunity to talk to a lot of people there. So I think at that point, I might have a better feel for that. But as of right now, I'm not exactly sure what it would take, but I would ask for the moon if I were the Titan.
I would too.
If it, right? I mean, if it is determined that he is far and away the best quarterback in the draft, and you think, and you're the Titans, and you think that you can maximize your pick in some way by picking, by taking other players or whatever, then I would just ask for the moon and see what you could get. And I'm sure the Giants would be interested. Maybe the Browns would be interested. Maybe other teams would be interested. So yeah, I would go shopping that around. And I think they're doing a really good job of letting people know that they really, really like Cam and that he's probably the guy. And, you know, sometimes that opens up the door for business. So I think we'll hear a lot more about this over the next few weeks.
Mary Kay, convince me that if, let's just, I can accept Cam Ward. I can accept Shedeur Sanders even. I probably could accept Travis Hunter too. If they don't take Abdul Carter, if he's available, why should Browns fans not think the Browns are playing the, oh, we're the smartest person in the room, if they don't take perhaps one of those four people? Because, you know, if they take someone outside of that, or maybe even, like, how many times have we watched and listened to a draft and just kind of gone through the whole thing and go, oh, here we go again. Browns thinking they're the smartest guy in the room. It happens way too often.
Well, the only reason why I could see them doing something like that is if they decide, okay, let's say Cam Ward is gone at number one and the Titans just say, nope, we're keeping him, we're going with him. The only way that I could see the Browns not taking Shedeur, probably I'm going to even say Shedeur there at number two, is if they have determined that they like a quarterback almost just as much as they like Shedeur, or maybe as much, or dare I even say, maybe even better than Shedeur, and they find a way to trade down and get that player there. What if they know for sure that the Giants will trade up and get Shedeur, and then they decide that they could even move back one spot and take a quarterback or someone at number three? So there are so many different ways that this can go based on what's going on with the quarterback situation. And we are not going to know until draft night what their thinking was on Shedeur, Tyler Shough, Jackson Dart, Cam Ward. And even then, we might not know for sure, or we might not know the truth. But there are still so many things that can happen, and it will boil down to their true evaluation of the quarterbacks probably after Cam.
I agree with everything you just said, but that brings up a question to me that I've been wondering all along. If Cam Ward, let's just say the Browns have Cam Ward head and shoulders above everybody else, is somebody else more highly thought of than Shedeur Sanders? Because the thought of taking a guy like Jalen Milroe or Jackson Dart at number two isn't something that many people are talking about. But Mary Kay, if the Browns feel that way, you could, rather than run the risk of trading down and hoping that that guy is still there. No?
Well, here's how I feel about the quarterback situation.
Okay.
I don't care where you take the quarterback that you want. You have to get him wherever you can get him and keep him away from somebody else getting him.
I agree.
So if you really, truly believe that, let's just say, Jackson Dart is your guy or Tyler Shough is your guy, then absolutely you have to take him at number two and prevent somebody else from getting him. It doesn't matter, especially in today's climate with the salaries and the rookie salary cap and all those things. It doesn't matter if you take him at 2 or 6 or 20, and it doesn't matter if someone thinks you took a quarterback 10 spots too high. You know, what if somebody would have taken Lamar Jackson way higher than 32 or some of these other quarterbacks that went so much later and turned out to be really good? It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. The only thing that matters is, where do you have the quarterback ranked on your board? What do you think he can do for your organization? And if you see a diamond in the rough that maybe other people aren't seeing something in, and you take him at number two and he goes on to take your team to a Super Bowl or whatever, then so be it. That's great. I mean, I'm sure people might have thought, I mean, would anyone have predicted perhaps that Jalen Hurts, picked in the second round, was going to be the Super Bowl winning quarterback? And you can go on and on and on. those kinds of situations.
Yeah, I just want to, Mary, it's funny because I'm listening to the beginning and I'm like, I don't agree. And then all of a sudden at the end there, I did agree. So my point here is the Browns should rip the rearview mirror out and do what they want to do and not worry about what other teams are doing. Is that what you're saying? Or I'm just trying to make sure I got this straight.
I'm saying that they shouldn't worry about what anybody's saying.
Okay, good. Okay.
And experts or anybody. You make your own evaluation and you do what's right for your organization, whether that be taking a quarterback, taking Shedeur Sanders at number two, or maybe you have determined there's one you like better and you can trade back. I wouldn't trade back too far on any of these guys. But maybe you do something with the Giants. I don't know. I really don't know how it's going to turn out. But I wouldn't hesitate to take whichever quarterback that you like the best, regardless of what his name is, at number two, and everyone else be darned.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us, plaindealercleveland.com. In the meantime, Aaron Rodgers is still trying to figure things out. I don't know. If he's holding up everything, it feels that way, Mary Kay. And if he makes a decision, he apparently is number one on everybody's board. I don't know. Are the Browns still in play here for Russell Wilson? Are they still in play for Carson Wentz? Are they in play for Aaron Rodgers?
They're not in play for Aaron Rodgers, and they never have been. They've never been interested in Aaron Rodgers. They're not, and they've never been interested in or seriously interested in a expensive starting quarterback. They are going younger. They are drafting a quarterback. They're going to draft their quarterback of the future. I don't know where, but they're drafting their quarterback of the future. And even Russell Wilson isn't necessarily going to be considered a long-term starter or even a full-time starter for 2025. I truly believe that their starter will come from this draft and that they will develop him this year and try to get him on the field probably this year. And if they don't, then they will have somebody else that they can put on the field and try to win games for them this year. So I don't think that they have a sense of urgency to get one of these guys. If it turns out to be Russell, fine. If not, then they'll turn towards maybe Carson or maybe Joe Flacco or someone else. But I don't necessarily think that they have they're not panicking about the bridge quarterback, because I think they really do truly view him as a bridge.
Mary Kay, can you see into your crystal ball what the Browns quarterback room is going to look like? Because listening to you, I'm just saying, it sounds like perhaps Carson Wentz, Pickett, and Shedeur Sanders. Could you see that being the room?
I could see it being the room. I could also see it being Russell and Shedeur and Kenny Pickett. Mm-hmm. So I do think that they're kind of waiting to see what Russell's going to do. I think he is probably their next choice in terms of the veteran bridge quarterback. I think they would like to have him. But once again, the world isn't going to crumble for them if they don't sign Russell Wilson. They have other options there. And then I don't know if it's going to be Shedeur, really. I think it's going to be Shedeur. And I keep trying to come back to that instead of overthinking it and landing somewhere else at this late juncture. But, there's still a month away, so many things can happen.
All right, so let me ask you one more, too. How does Kirk Cousins saying, hey, I'm not taking a trade until after the draft, does that change the Browns?
I've been writing for a long time that he wasn't going to be traded or released before the draft. That's been well documented by me in several different places on pods and in print and everything like that. I was told probably, I would say maybe a month ago, that he was not going to be traded or released before the draft. So I'm not surprised by that at all. And I think the Browns kind of knew that too. And it makes sense. And I don't know that the Browns are going to want to give up draft capital for Kirk Cousins. Maybe they will. Maybe they will. But once again, I think that they have an eye towards the future and that they're ready to move forward. And so I don't know how much they would be willing to give up for him, if anything.
You got everybody all fired up last week with your Carson Wentz report, that there was some interest between the two parties there. How much interest is there?
Well, I think he's on the short list after after Russ. I think he's somebody that sort of fits the profile of what they need for 2025. Someone that can come in here and go in and has experience, can pick up an offense probably pretty quickly, maybe win some games for you or you get the job done if necessary. I don't know that it's, once again, I don't know if it's front burner and they're clamoring for him. If that were the case, they would have signed him already. Once again, I think it's a contingency plan if they don't sign Russ.
Okay. That's all interesting. On the other hand, I think the Browns made a couple of really interesting signings on the offensive line with Tevin Jenkins and Cornelius Lucas. What do those tell you about what they're thinking?
Well, they're self-described offensive line snobs. And right? And they really are. I mean, they've learned that you have to build tough through the lines. It's what the Philadelphia Eagles always do. It's one of the things that Andrew took from Howie Roseman when he was there. He also got some of that when he was in Indy. And they are always going to keep adding to the offensive line pile and the defensive line pile. So now you've got some good depth at tackle. You've got some good depth at guard. Does it mean anything more than that? We'll have to see as we go along. I know everybody's starting to think, oh, what does this possibly mean for Wyatt Teller? And, of course, I've tried to check in about that, and we'll ask Andrew Berry more about that at the owners' meetings. But it might not mean anything. It just might mean that they need really good depth, and they know there will be injuries as some of these guys get older, and that they're going to make sure that their probably rookie starting quarterback is well protected.
Mary Kay, oh, go ahead.
Nope.
I just wanted to fire just your thoughts on the dome and where we're at, and it sounds like the new financing from the state, that the lottery idea the governor had is out the window. They're going to do bonds for the Browns, which takes everybody else. The state's now going to have the Bengals come at them, the Reds come at them, and everything else. But now it just seems like they're doing bonds for the Browns, and that's where they're going to go with this thing. I'm curious on your thoughts between that and that the war of words between the city and the Browns. I'm just a war of words. We'll leave it at that.
Well, and it's not just the city and the Browns. It's the city and the county and the Browns, which, I find it to be interesting and difficult to navigate all of this. And of course, we will be talking to the Haslams. We get to sit with them for probably at least a half an hour, the small group of us that goes to the owners meetings in West Palm, which begin on Sunday and run through at least like Tuesday afternoon or evening. So we will have a sit down with them there, and we'll hear more about this, but they are dug in on this, and they're ready to deal with whatever comes their way, whether it's rhetoric like that from the city and the county, whether it's lawsuits or whatever it is. This is their plan, and they are not wavering from it.
Mary Kay, thank you for your time, as always.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Mary Kay Cabot, plaindealercleveland.com, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
You just have to decide if that's how you feel about Cam Ward. If you think he's head and shoulders above Shedeur Sanders, then absolutely you have to pick up the phone and make that phone call and see what they would be willing to do. I would do that in a heartbeat if that's how you feel. We don't know if that's how they feel, and we're not going to know that until they tell us on draft day, potentially, oh, we've had our eye on Shedeur since November, and we always knew he was our man.
That was Mary Kay Cabot from the plaindealercleveland.com just a few moments ago, saying, yep, you got to make that phone call if you think. See, that Mary Kay, I agree with her on that. You have to make that phone call. And then I thought it was really interesting what she said about other guys. And Andy, that's where this thing is getting sticky to me, is I wonder how the Browns evaluate the other quarterbacks in this draft. If there's one of them that they're giddy for, that they think this is the guy. And if they really think that and they really think he's going to be good, should you take him at number two? And Mary Kay said, you're dang right they should. How does that sit with you?
I'm at the point now where I just kind of, I softened up a little bit on the quarterback stuff, but not, the more I just think about it and the more I just look, I like, don't overthink this. It's Abdul Carter at two, and then it's over. I'm done. I just don't feel like this quarterback is in this draft. And if we've got to play Wheel of Regret, front office isn't going to be here anyway long enough to play Wheel of Regret. I just don't see it. Even if they're here for three more years and the quarterback doesn't work out, if the whole world is looking at you and you have no clothes on, maybe you should go put some clothes on. Because here we are.
Dan, Andy's talking nudity.
I'm not
our show.
It's the old Emperor Has No Clothes On. Like, the whole world is saying,
you bring that up during spring break week for a lot of our local
grade schools,
I mean, kindergartens, daycares.
Parents are
it doesn't matter. They're all at Edgewater.
All really
they're at Edgewater, guys. I'm telling you. They're over at Edgewater.
Calls.
My point is, Abdul Carter at two, done. I'm ready for the draft right now at this point. If the whole world is telling you this isn't a good quarterback draft, and if you thought Cam Ward was the one quarterback that can lead your team to victory over the next 4 or 5 years. Again, I said 4 or 5 because go back and look at Browns history since 99. Give me a quarterback for 5 years, and I'll be the happiest guy on earth. I don't see it. I just don't see it. So just take Abdul Carter at two. Let's move on and maybe try to come back in the end of the first round if you're giddy about a quarterback.
All right, let me – giddy is a great word.
You love that word, yeah.
I do. Yeah. Here's the thing. This is not about you, okay? You said you don't see it. I don't see it either. But what if the Browns do? Would you be okay?
Then do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Then just do it. Right. But just get ready because it's going to be the same old draft day where 90% or 80% of your fan base thinks, here we go again. The Browns think they're the smartest guys in the room. And they're going to take somebody or do something that the whole world is looking at the Browns. We're all going to wake up the next day and see that they got a C, D, or F from the whole world, which doesn't make a difference anyway. What we'll see, though, is that if eventually you end up with a C, D, or an F on the field during the year, it's just we're not getting anywhere. How about just make the smart pick?
Ryan is in Pennsylvania on his way to Ohio, might be in Florida or Vegas sometime soon. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Rhino.
Hey, just a comment on the conundrum, obviously, of what is working in New York for 3 years.
Ryan, you got stuff going on with
your
phone.
You
got
to call us back, man. Sorry.
Try and call us back, buddy. Your phone's a mess. Roman is in Canton. Hi, Roman.
Hey, Roman.
What's up, fellas?
What's going on?
Not too much, man. Just calling in, wanted to talk briefly about just it seems like, again, they need to hit on this draft. And it sounds like the conversation is going along the lines of, well, if they think that they have the guy, then they got to go out and get him and give up a bunch to go get him if that's what they think. But like you said, Phelps, do we trust what they think when it comes to the draft?
Yeah, Roman, I keep going back to that, and I hate that.
I hate it because I don't. And as much as I want to, because I know that we had 4 years of competitive football, and that's why we're so hungry and so upset about last season is because that 3-14 wasn't, in a 5-year span, what we were used to. So how do we get back to that? I think the best way to do it is to take the bona fide NFL player at number two who we know is going to be on this team and, you know, hopefully retire from this team like we did with Miles and Chubb. So I think
so that's Abdul Carter, right?
I think you have to, and I think hearing what Deion said yesterday about, you know, well, we're hoping for New York,
Hang on 1 second, Roman. Dano,
yeah.
That quote, Deion, we're hoping for New York, not true, correct?
Not true, according to Deion Sanders. He has gone on Instagram and has said that was not true what was said. They will go wherever, and I quote, go wherever God tells them.
Okay. Understandable, that's fine. But at the end of the day, you know that's where he wants to go. New York has Shedeur Sanders written all over him. So leverage that. Leverage that for next year's draft and to take a guy opposite of Miles who we know can compete at the NFL level for a long time that can, you know, solidify our ends on defense. And sure, we're going to have to, you know, bite our cheek a little bit this year on the quarterback position and hope that we can get somewhere down the road. But if Cam Ward is the guy who everybody thinks is the most NFL ready out of this draft class, I don't think you can gamble on that, because if it's only out of this draft class, then what's to say, you know, next year, if he were to be, you know, held for a year or whatever, and we got guys next year coming out that are way more ready to be in the NFL than Cam Ward was, AB and the front office can't risk that right now. They can't, or their jobs are on the line.
All right, Roman, thank you very much. Are there jobs on the line? We're gonna talk about that in a little bit. Ryan calling back. Hi, Rhino.
Hi, Rhino.
Hey, gentlemen. Yeah, sorry about that.
I just
wanted to chime in again. Being in New York, New Jersey here for the past couple weeks, working, listening to the sports talk out here. All they talked about, other than the St. John's and obviously the Yankees, was the quarterback conundrum, obviously with the Jets and Giants. And it coincides with Browns fans, obviously. Just listening again, they're enamored with Sanders, just like the previous caller said. Me personally, no, I'm not. I am buyer beware personality right now when it comes to that second pick overall. And again, you had some great points about a week ago, Jeff, when it came to obviously that trade for the second pick with 2016. And again, the only guy we got out of it was Denzel Ward. I understand if you don't hit the picks properly when you make a trade, it's horrifying. But if you do make the proper trade and you get, you know, King's ransom for it, which I feel that this is prison of the moment for these GMs, quarterback-laden league is in the forefront. But we as Browns fans should recognize, man, this is, in my opinion, man, this is buyer beware, fool's gold-esque. I just truly, prior to even the Browns having the second pick overall, did not feel good about Ward or Sanders, just being college fan football. And again, now we have the scenario where we have that pick, and it's like, I understand Barry needs, like the guy said previously, we got to worry about Barry more so than the Browns team. It's just his job is on the line, and I cannot stand that when it comes to a GM mindful of his job has us fans on edge. It's like, wait a second here. We need to make the right pick, not the pick that's going to keep your gig. I'm not saying that's where his mind's at, but again, a lot of these GMs, they really are on that mind frame.
Ryan, thank you very much, buddy. We appreciate it. Seems that way, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll continue coming up here on Baskin and Phelps.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to be optimistic, Andy. I'm having a hard time being optimistic.
I'll be optimistic 2 out of every 5 games, won't you?
That's not going to be enough.
That's not enough?
Right. I don't think it is.
I feel optimistic, my friend.
Don't think that's enough.
Well, if you can get the other 3 to get 1, if you can go 1 and 3.
I don't think that's enough.
That's 3.
I don't think that's what we're thinking
about.
Let's
not forget the bullpen carried them a little bit last year, too. So.
Okay. I don't think that's what we're thinking of.
It only took me 1 hour and 43 minutes to sigh.
For the Baskin sigh? Yeah. The Cavaliers wrapping up the road trip tonight in Portland against the Trailblazers.
Thank God. Come home.
What does that mean?
Come home. Why? Just get some rest.
Get some rest.
They need some rest. Let's get ready for the playoffs.
They're taxing themselves so much out
there. This hasn't been a fun trip. I'm sorry. I mean, Utah was fun because they decided that they were going to turn the switch on second half.
And they were playing the second worst team in the NBA.
Well, that seemed to help out too, didn't it?
Who didn't have Lauri Markkanen.
We only have a 15-game lead in the Central now, Jeff. I'm a little concerned. Only a 15-game lead on Indiana in the Central. Oh, wait. We're looking at the other one.
It's the worst. They already clinched the Central.
I know. Were you there for the parade for that one? How'd you like that parade, Jeff?
Are you ever going to let that division thing go?
No, I want a t-shirt. Can somebody send me a Central Division t-shirt? That's what I want for my birthday next year. Cavs, 2025 Central Division champions. We don't win a lot of championships around here. Can we celebrate? Let's live where our feet are right now. Central Division champions.
There's my sigh.
Pound your chest, my friends. Meanwhile, the lead in the Eastern Conference is 4.5.
Yeah, you know, they should have it. Don't you think?
What was the magic number, 7?
Yeah.
With the...
yeah. It's still 7. I would think you're going to get that.
Yeah, I would have thought they would have done a little better on this trip, too. So,
well, no, that's true. Cavs have 11 games left to go.
That's a combination of 7 wins and losses between the Celtics.
Cavs and Celtics, yeah. I am, but I'm starting to think, okay, make sure you don't do this too much. Are you okay with guys getting some rest?
Yeah, and, no problem.
Okay.
I'm good with it.
Do you think they need to regroup a little bit, say the last 5-6 games of the season, and roll out their team and play their guys?
Here's what I know.
And make sure that the starters are out there together for an extended period of time. And
if you listen to any of Kenny Atkinson's press conferences after the game, post-game, he absolutely 100% can see everything that's going on. This isn't like nothing is coming as a surprise to him. And if you listen to Pre, too, it's the same kind of stuff. Like, he'll tell you exactly. He watches it. It's so refreshing to hear a coach actually say what you're thinking during the game. Why did they do that? What was that all about? And he thinks the same thing. And it's not like he's calling out.
Why did I do that?
Yeah, it's not. I've never heard him say, why do I do that?
Yeah, I know. Well, maybe you should.
There's something refreshing about him.
Why did I make almost every right move a coach could possibly make?
How did we end up playing all these teams that had injuries along the way? I mean, how did we end up getting the right, you know, some of it's luck. Let's be honest. They had the luck of the draw in a lot of these games in the schedule throughout the season. That doesn't mean they didn't have to go out and play hard and win. They did. Let's get through this game. So what are they? How many home games left? They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 home games left. So let's go get it. Wrap this thing up. Let's get to the playoffs, and then we'll see how things fall out after that. Plus, you get a little time to rest during that stupid play-in tournament.
Did that 4-game losing streak dampen your enthusiasm for what this team might be able to do in the postseason at all?
I think
it exposed an issue that we knew was there anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it's real clear the guys who hurt them during that losing streak were the bigger guys who play on the wing.
Mm-hmm.
For like every team.
But we've kind of seen that all season, haven't we?
Well,
there's a reason why everyone's been saying this is their Achilles heel.
They didn't lose games. Hardly ever. Hardly ever. And here they lost 4 of the last 5. 4 in a row.
You worried?
What do you mean by worried?
Are you worried that they can't get past, say, the second round of the playoffs?
Yeah.
Are you worried they can't get past the first round of the playoffs?
I'd be stunned if they don't get past the first round of the playoffs. I would not be stunned if they got knocked out in the second round. But I would be floored if they lost their first-round playoff series. Right now, I think it's Miami, just the way the thing plays out. There are a lot more games to go and everything. But right now, it feels like Miami might be their opponent. And you know how I feel about that Heat organization. I don't like it, but boy, do I respect it.
Yeah.
They're Spoelstra can just coach.
Do you think it's interesting that they have a bunch of these games? How many games have 2, 4? I keep counting on the air. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. What have 12 games? 11 games.
One of your better attributes.
Thank you. I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of games on national TV down the stretch. Both the New York games are.
I know.
One's on ESPN. The April 2nd game on ESPN is, and then the last time they play New York, which is at New York on April 11th, that's on NBA TV for whatever that's worth.
Everybody wants to poo-poo the Knicks.
I'm not.
I'm not either. I honestly think that the Knicks could be a heck of a challenge, man. I really do. And right now, the way it's set up, right now, it would be Celtics and Knicks in the same bracket of the East. The Cavs wouldn't see either the Celtics or the Knicks until an Eastern Conference Finals. However, the Knicks have a 2.5-game lead on the Indiana Pacers.
So the right now the Cavs would be sitting, the Pacers would be on our side of the bracket, right?
And the Bucks.
Bucks, yeah. And then whoever the worst of the play-in teams is, right? The 8 seed, yeah. Yeah. Because the 7 seed would move up.
I believe that's Celtics. Correct.
Yep. So you're looking at... at this point, you'd be looking at the...
We had Matt Moore on from the Action Network yesterday. He said, look out for the Pacers. He thought the Pacers were an interesting team. And I thought that that was an interesting thought by Matt. Because I... And again, people, I think a lot of people are poo-pooing the Milwaukee Bucks as well. And I'm about the only guy who thinks the Bucks could be a real challenge for the Cavs.
Well, you just said the Pacers, too. I mean, look, it's
Matt said the Pacers. I thought that was an interesting thought.
I'm not expecting a walk in the park in any of these series.
No, I'm
even
not
the first
either.
Round. Well, the first round, you're looking at the winner of the Heat Bulls will play the loser of the Magic Hawks. So. And both those teams have figured out a way to beat the Cavs. So.
Matt thought that Pascal Siakam, and I like Siakam a lot. I think he's a terrific player. Could be a handful. And he's, you know, he's a 6'8 wing guy. I could certainly understand that.
Are we worried about Donovan Mitchell's groin injury? Is this starting to creep
in? I had the numbers in front of me the other day. I mean, he's struggling shooting, especially from 3 points.
What was it? The Phoenix game? It was 2 of 18, something like that. That was ridiculous.
But I mean, I've got it right here in front of me.
I'm not concerned about it. I'm assuming until they shut him down for an extended period and don't just go with a game of rest here and there, that he's fine and we'll be okay.
All right. So the last month, just to have everything out there, 5 of 13, 0 of 5 from 3. 2 of 18, 0 of 8 from 3.
Wait a minute. Are these average stats? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just telling you how many shots he made versus how many shots he went against.
Yeah,
and his three-pointers in between because the three-point percentage has been in the toilet.
Yes.
So that's it. It's just shots made versus shots attempted. Very simple.
Average? Is that what you were saying?
No. Shots made against shots attempted. So 5 for 13. You know, made 5 shots against 13 shots that he put up.
In a game?
That is correct.
Okay. So an average per game.
There's no average. I don't know where you're getting average. Maybe I'm not tracking.
Well, what are you... I don't understand what you're citing.
He's in a bad shooting slump. That's what I'm citing, and I'm going game by game going. Okay,
okay, there you go. You're going game by game.
Yeah, game by game. Okay, cool. Now we're on the same page.
Yeah.
We did it. All right. 5 of 13, 2 of 18, 8 of 17, 5 of 18, 9 of 28... Then sat for 2 games. 4 of 15, 6 of 19, 8 of 17, 7 of 17, and sat.
Well, people haven't liked it when I've pointed this out. And you might not agree with me on this. Donovan's not a great shooter. He's a great scorer. And there's a difference.
He's aggressive to the rim. That's the best way I could put that.
For instance, I've never thought LeBron James is a great shooter. But LeBron's the greatest scorer in the NBA, in the history of the NBA. I mean, LeBron can go get you a basket. Donovan can go get you a basket. A great shooter is a guy like Steph Curry. You know, a guy like I think Kyrie is a great shooter. You know, there's a difference. And it's not a knock on Donovan. And he can get hot and knock down outside shots like crazy. But I think scoring is his forte and not just shooting. You understand the difference, right?
Oh, I totally get it. I get it. And I don't I'm not expecting, like, Garland, I expect, well, like, I love Garland. When Garland gets hot, he's fun to watch.
Darius is a better shooter, I think.
You know? Right. But typically, he's a little more efficient than that.
You're absolutely right.
Like, now I've, like, month to month shooting percentage, if you want that, month to month field goal percentage.
Yeah.
50% in October, 43% in November. 46 in December, 44 in January, 49 in February, with some rounding, and March, 33%.
Yeah.
There's something going on here.
Well, and it's not like March is a week into it. We're almost done with March. I would assume he's fine because the Cavs keep rolling him out there. If he's not fine, shut him down. Right?
Yeah, I'm just looking. Did you give numbers for this entire trip? Because I'm just kind of, I'm going back on this.
I gave the month of March.
This trip has not been fun. Not fun at all. Just even looking at, like, he's, at least one of his last 18, and he was 2-for-9 against the Clippers, so 3-for-27. Ugh. Going back to the Clippers.
Stay tuned. He's sitting out tonight's final game of the road trip against Portland, and then we'll see what happens when they get back home. I'm assuming that he's in a shooting slump and that it's not a physical problem. Otherwise, I think they would have shut him down for an extended period of time. And if it is a physical problem and they haven't shut him down for an extended period of time, then they might have a major issue on their hands. Mm. What have Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski been told about their jobs and their security and how they should approach what's ahead? That might be the entire key to this offseason, and we're going to get into that next right here on Baskin and Phelps.